Good morning. Everybody made it. So proud of you. Thank you for being here this morning. And like Keith said, we're kicking off the year with a prayer service. We've done this for several years now, just wanting to start the year reminding ourselves of our dependence on God and expressing that together. And so what we're going to do today, we've been working through the book of Hebrews for quite a while, and we've made it to the last chapter. And so we're going to let chapter 13 of Hebrews guide our prayer time. I'm going to read through the chapter here in just a minute, and then we'll walk through it together and kind of stop at different points. And I'm just going to suggest, based on what Scripture is showing us, topics that we can pray through and give you a couple minutes to pray with each section, just where you are. And then I'll close out that prayer time, and we'll move to another chunk, just so you know what to expect. And then towards the end, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together, and the kids will come in and take that with us as well. And so thank you for being here to pray with us today. Thank you for all the ways that you pray for God to do the type of work that only He can do in this church and in our hearts and our lives. And so I'm going to ask you to start right now by praying that with me, if you would. Father, thank you for this time right now. Thank you for the truth of your word. And we ask that you will teach us right now by your Spirit from your word as only you can. Open up the truth of your word to us and open us up to the truth of your word. Help us to see you more right now. Stir up faith inside of us to believe you and trust you and come to you because of who you are. And I pray, Father, that these truths would guide our hearts and our minds and lead us to pray for the things that are of you and from you and for you. Father, that we would truly be a church and a people who are dependent on you, trusting you, connected to you, and that we would get to see you do the work that only you could do, and that we would then thank you and praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And so as we come to the end of this letter, you kind of get a more practical chapter here. A lot of, based on everything that we've said about who Jesus is and how Jesus is better, in response to this, because of the faith that's growing inside of you, live it out this way. And so you're going to see quite a bit of that here, but then you're also going to still see this. And if this is going to happen inside of you, God's the one that's got to do it. And so depend on Him to work this in you as you're working it out and living it out. So here's Hebrews 13, and then we'll walk and pray through together. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I've written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. And we made it. You thought we might never make it to the end of Hebrews, but we did. All right, for our first section here, I'm just going to take these first six verses or so. And he starts out with, keep loving one another as brothers and sisters. And then don't forget to show hospitality even to strangers. And remember those who are suffering. And specifically here, he probably has in mind other Jewish Christians who are being arrested and thrown in prison for their faith in Jesus. And so during this first section here, I just want you to pray for us as a church, as a family, as a local body, a community of believers. Pray for our hearts that we would love one another this way, that the love of God would be alive in us, and he would be creating a community and a family here where we love one another. And so pray that we'll love one another, and then pray that we will help those in need the way that he's describing right here. And so will you pray that with me for a minute, just for our hearts and God to produce that in us? Father, thank you for the way that you have loved us in Jesus and the way that you do love us in Jesus. Thank you that before we ever loved you, you first loved us. And I pray that as your Spirit lives in us, you will produce your love in us, that you would fill us with your love and that it would overflow, and that we would be a church and a body of believers who are united by love, love for you and love for one another, and that we would live that out in ways that look like Jesus and honor Jesus and make Jesus known. I pray that you would help us to continue to grow in the grace of generosity and the grace of giving, and that we would meet needs, and that you would lead us to see those and meet them as you see fit. Father, I pray that none of that would just be programs or activities or things that we do because they are good in and of themselves, but that it really would be an expression of us knowing your love for us and your love flowing through us to help us make Jesus known. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. And with that first section, you know, one of the ways that we try to meet needs in the community is through our food bank, and anytime that you want to donate food for that or serve there, we'd love to have you plugged in there. Keith was mentioning the camp scholarships for our kids and students coming up this summer. Anytime that you want to give in that way and designate it, every year the camp that we go to is completely full, and we fill up every spot that they give us. And so there is a great need there, and we'd love for you to give in that way. The next thing I want to point out in this section, when he says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Just wanted to remind you that the world we live in and the things that you can see with your eyes, touch with your hands, is not all there is to life and not all there is to the world. That the spiritual reality beyond just this physical world is bigger and greater. And that's a theme that we've seen over and over and over throughout this book. And so I'm going to ask us right now just to pray that God would give us the faith to live a life that is about more than just this life. The faith to invest our life in a world that's bigger than just this world. That we would live with his spiritual kingdom in mind when we can see it and when we can't see it. Right? That the results of living by faith are that you get to connect your life to something way bigger than just your life. And so I ask that God would stir up this type of faith inside of us and help us to invest this life and our time in this world in something greater than just this life. And so will you pray that right now? Father, please stir up this type of faith inside of us. Help us to live for your kingdom and not just the kingdoms of this world. Help us to live for the things of God and not just the things of this world. Father, give us spiritual eyes to see what really matters and what really lasts. Help us to not waste our lives just on this life and this world when it won't last forever, but to give our lives, to pour out our lives, to invest our lives in your kingdom, your purposes. We ask that you would build us into that type of people and that type of church, and then you would take the things that we offer to you in faith and that you would use them for far greater purposes than we could ever do on our own in this world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This next section here in verses 4-6, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And then keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm going to ask you in this section, pray for our marriages and families in this church. Pray for God's work in our marriages, families, and homes. And then also that our hearts would be content in God and not longing for the things of this world, not trusting the things of this world to satisfy us, not relying on the things of this world, but knowing that the presence of God is the greatest comfort we can ever have, the most reliable thing that we can ever have. And so pray that God would teach this, that he would do this work in our marriages and in our homes, that our marriages, homes, families, children, that our hearts would be turned toward him and satisfied in him. Will you pray that right now? Father, we pray for our marriages, our families, our homes. We ask for your work in our hearts so that they will be built on you, focused on you, honoring to you. We pray that you will turn our hearts to you in such a way that we love you and not the things of this world, that we trust you and not the things of this world, that we want you and not the things of this world. We thank you, Father, that you are always with us. Thank you for your promise that you never leave us and you never forsake us. Help us to know and experience the truth of your presence more and more in such a way that our hearts are so satisfied in you that we don't long for anything else. We do pray right now with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Thank you, Father, that you're greater than everything in this world and greater than everything else in our lives. Help us to trust you and rely on you in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to stand with us, we're going to sing another song here, and then we'll move into our next section in a couple minutes. We're going to pick up in the next section here. There's a few things in this next section that we're going to pray through that are definitely some of my favorite stuff in all of Hebrews, and maybe some of my favorite stuff in the Bible. And so as we get to it, I'll just mention why. But first of all, starting in verse 7 here, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And in just a second, I'm going to ask you to pray for all the different teachers in our church, the guys on the teaching team that teach up here on Sunday mornings, the people who teach in our community groups and small groups, our leaders who teach our students and our children, just across the board, people teaching in lots of different areas of ministry, that we would be faithful to the Word of God, that we would teach the Word of God faithfully. And then one of the things I really like is the connection between 7 and 8, where he's like, hey, so your teachers have taught you the Word of God. Remember that and see how they've lived it out and live out your faith that way. But then in 8, we get the reason, because Jesus is always the same. If they've taught you the truth about Jesus, that truth about Jesus is always going to be true. And so don't hold on to what they've taught because they were such a great teacher. Hold on to what they've taught because Jesus is so faithful and true and unchanging and steady and reliable. And then also consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That when you've seen people follow Jesus and you see what that looks like, he's going to be the same in your life that he was in their life. You can trust him the way that they've trusted him. And so right now, pray for all of our teachers in the church. And then also, I'd ask you right here to keep in mind that we're encouraging all of us to grow in our faith in such a way that we're discipling other people, bringing people to the Bible and asking, what's this teach about God? And praying with them and helping them see who God is. And so while you're praying for our leaders here who teach the church, also be praying that God will keep raising up from among all of us teachers like this for everywhere in the world. And then also, in your mind as you're praying, thank God that all this is because of who Jesus is, how trustworthy and faithful and true and reliable he is. So will you pray that way right now, just for faithful teaching of the word in a church that's built on the word of God and on the faithfulness of Jesus? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you have given this church people who teach your word faithfully in so many areas of ministry. Father, give us grace and strength to always teach your word faithfully. Please continue to build more and more and more this church on the truth of who Jesus is, the unchanging, eternal truth of who Jesus is. May he be our message. May he be the one we declare. May people know him more and more as you speak the truth of your word through us. Thank you for blessing us in that way. Please keep using us in that way. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This next section here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. You know, there is this thing in our hearts sometimes where it's like, okay, I've heard that. What's next? And we're ready to move on to something new and novel and exciting. That's not how this works with Jesus. Jesus is always the thing that you need to hear. You don't need to move on to something else. You need to move deeper with Jesus. You don't need to know something new. You need to know Jesus more. And so that our hearts wouldn't want new and novel. Our hearts would want more of Jesus. And then it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit to those who do so. And remember, the reason this book's called Hebrews is because it was written to Hebrew Christians, you know, Christians who were Jews by nationality, by family connection, by culture, and then they had become Christians. They're followers of Jesus now, but they're associated with a lot of Jews by religion and practice who aren't followers of Jesus. And so you have all the Old Testament religious traditions that came along with Judaism, and for the people who aren't trusting Jesus, that's all they have. Like these rituals that were always supposed to point them to Jesus, always ultimately going to be fulfilled in Jesus. And now that Jesus has come as the great fulfillment, a lot of the Jews, the Hebrews, are missing that. And without Jesus as the fulfillment of all that, those things are just empty religious rituals. And so the author right here, he's like, hey, it is not these religious ceremonies, these ceremonial foods. It's not going to the tabernacle and the altar. It's not all of this religious ritual that strengthens your heart. Those external things can't do the internal thing you need the most. Only the grace of God can. And he's like, so be strengthened by grace, by Jesus and his gospel. Have a real connection with God through Jesus and a real relationship with God where it is the grace of God and the Spirit of Christ who's working in your heart. And all your religious rituals, if they're an expression of that and they're growing out of that, they're reminding you of that, that's great. But if your religious rituals are disconnected from Jesus and his grace and his work and his Spirit, they can't do anything for your heart. And so right here, you know, don't be pulled away to stuff that isn't Jesus. Don't let your heart get enamored with even religious things that aren't Jesus. They are empty and they're weak and they're worthless apart from him. And so just pray for us, for a love and a passion and a commitment to Jesus. And pray that our hearts will be strengthened by grace, that it would be the work of God and the gift of God in us, producing the things that only God can. So right now, hearts that love Jesus and hearts that are strengthened by God's grace. And then that everything religious that we do will grow out of that and be connected to that. Will you pray that for us? Father, we need your grace more than anything in the world. We need a living and active relationship with you, and not just dead, empty religious rituals. We ask you to do this in our hearts because of the truth of Jesus' gospel and by the work of your Spirit. Please strengthen our hearts by your grace. And I pray that everything we do in our lives and in this church, every expression of religion, every expression of goodness or holiness or righteousness, that it will grow out of our relationship with Jesus, that it would be grounded in him and produced by him, and that we would live it out in dependence on him, and that our hearts would truly love him and make him known. Father, please, by your grace, make our religion real. Rescue us from empty and vain traditions and rituals that are just work of humans. And please do your real work in our hearts. We trust you for your grace, and we ask for your grace because of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. In this next section, he continues to compare Jesus to these Old Testament Jewish rituals and sacrifices. He says, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so also Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. You see Jesus here as the better sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the fulfillment of all those little pictures that you saw in the Old Testament, even to the point of when these sacrifices were offered in the Old Testament, they carried the bodies of the animals outside the city and burned them out there, and Jesus is crucified. He dies outside the city. And so we can thank God for Jesus being the fulfillment and the better of all of this stuff. But then the author takes it another step, and he's like, when Jesus was disgraced that way in this world, when he came and embraced that type of disgrace for us, he's the one we follow now. Follow him out. Don't live for this world. It's the theme that we saw earlier. Like, don't set your heart on the things of this world. Set your heart on Jesus. Turn and walk away from the things of this world. Walk away from all the stuff that the city of this world would offer. And love Jesus and his enduring city and live for that. And if that means that the whole world thinks you're a fool right now, if it means that the wisdom of the world and the success of the world and the power of the world and the influence of the world, if you have to give all that up to be connected to Jesus, give all that up. Accept the disgrace of the world because of the enduring, lasting, eternal glory of Jesus. And so right here, thank God for Jesus' sacrifice. Thank him that he's the ultimate fulfillment, that you are right with God, that you have access to God, to the altar, to the tabernacle, the real presence of God because of Jesus. And then pray that we'll follow Jesus in such a way that we love him and not this world. Will you pray that for us right now? Father, thank you for loving us in such a way and to such an extent that Jesus suffered and was disgraced and died in this way for us, to rescue us and make us right with you. Thank you that he loved you, he loved us more than he loved ease and comfort and acceptance in this world. And I pray that Jesus' love for us would melt our hearts in such a way that we also would love you, your kingdom, your enduring city, more than we love the things of this world. And that we would follow Jesus, wherever that means in this life. That we would be willing to give up or lose everything in this life, even our very lives, so long as we have him and his kingdom. Help us see him and know him and love him in that way. Make us that type of church and that type of people. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This next section here. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. A couple of things that we're going to do right here. First of all, we're going to take a minute in this section, and I just, as you pray here in a minute, I want you to praise God. Thank him for who Jesus is, for what Jesus has done. Thank him for his love to you and his grace to you. Just directly, explicitly thanking him for who he is and what he's done for us. And then we get this reminder again to do good and share with each other. I know we talked about that earlier, but that God would be producing that kind of love in us and that generosity in us. And then this section here about your leaders, have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority, make their joy a work and not a burden. I wanted to stop right here just on a personal note and say thank you to all of you as a church. We actually talked about this just this past Monday in staff meeting for a few minutes. No church in the world is perfect, right? Because there aren't perfect people, and you get imperfect people in a church, you get an imperfect church. And so it's not like, oh, this is a perfect church. Obviously, there's always problems. But even as you read the New Testament, different churches have different personalities, and different churches have different issues. Just read sometime the first chapter of Galatians and the first chapter of Philippians and tell me how different those two churches were, okay? Like, Paul's tone is real different in Galatians 1 than in Philippians 1. And I just wanted, just as part of what we said in staff meeting, just to say thank you to you. Because you're just a pleasant church so much of the time. Like, I've been in settings, and you probably have been in settings where kind of the bent or the personality is always to grumble or complain about something, be discontent with something. Like, there's always, like, you're always putting out a fire, always doing something. And that's not life in this church. And we are really, really, really grateful for that. I mean, I want you to know how thankful I am that the stuff that we deal with, like, yeah, let's focus on that and deal with that. Let's not be distracted by this. And so thank you for that. Thank you for your heart in that and the way you support us. You know, last week as we were kicking off the new year, I told you just about some of my personal struggles, and so many of you were just so kind to offer words of encouragement. And you know, somebody wrote a prayer on one of the prayer cards for the whole staff and turned it into us, and just you've reached out in different ways. And then some of you have said, hey, I understand. I feel like I'm going through the exact same thing, and you encouraged me with saying God's using this to help me and encourage me. And so thank you for that as well. But I just wanted to stop right here and say thank you for the ways that you live out verse 17 already. Thank you for being that type of church. And so let's praise God for a minute. Just thank him for whatever he puts on your mind right now to thank him for, and thank him for the ways that he's at work in our church and the ways that he's building into us some of the truths that we see in the Bible. But praise God and thank him, and then pray for his continual work in our hearts that we'll look more and more like this. So let's pray together. Thank you. Father, we thank you and we praise you right now for who you are, for who you have revealed yourself to be in Jesus, for what you have done in Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your wisdom in expressing all of that in Jesus and giving it to us in Jesus in a way that satisfies your justice and honors your holiness and righteousness. Thank you that Jesus is the perfect expression of all of that. Thank you for letting us know you through him. And as verse 15 says right here, Father, we openly profess your name as a sacrifice of praise to you. Thank you that you are the Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love, forgiving sin, wickedness, and rebellion. Thank you that Jesus is the fulfillment of that name. We thank you and we praise you because of him and through his name. Thank you for the church that you are building here. I ask that you would continue to work in all of our hearts to shape us and build us into the church that looks like Jesus' church and loves like Jesus' church and really follows and honors Jesus as the head of the church. In every way that we get to see that, and as our leaders here are thankful for the things that we see in so many people's hearts, Father, when we see that, we thank you. We know that it's from you. And in every way that we aren't that yet, we confess our need for you and our dependence on you, and we ask you to work it in us more and more. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you want to stand and sing with us again, we'll have another song of worship before our last section of prayer. We're going to focus on the prayer here in verses 20 and 21 as we pray. This section kind of made sense to me. But before we do that, I want to point one other thing out in just a second. And Lisa, if you want to go ahead and be grabbing the kids and let them make their ways in, because we're going to take this section of prayer straight into the Lord's Supper here in just a minute. And so you can watch for your kids as they come in. But I did want to, I couldn't pass up verse 22 here. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. Listen, if these 13 chapters of Hebrews have been brief, I am giving you all brief every single week, so I don't want to hear any more about it, all right? That's all I've got to say right there. Can you imagine getting the long letter from this guy? All right. The prayer in verses 20 and 21. And make sure you hear, this is the end of the letter. This is the last thing he wants them to hear, and especially the end of this chapter, all this practical, love each other this way and be holy and pure in this way and live this out in this way and give your lives to Jesus and not the things of this world in this way, and just on and on and all, like, all this stuff that needs to be happening in your heart. And if you're like me, you read it on, it's like, man, there's a whole lot of it that's not happening yet, and I want more and more of it to be happening. And that's, he brings us right here. He's like, here's how it happens. Don't lose sight of this. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Come on in, kids. Find your parents. We're going to pray together for just a minute and love for you all to be praying with us, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And so this last section right here, I want you to pray this prayer for you and for us, and you can walk right through the words of it if you want to, but pray that God will equip us with everything good for doing his will. Everything that we need to live out his will, that he would give it to us and equip us with it, that he would be the source of it. That what God wants from us, God will give to us. What God demands of us, God offers to us in Jesus. And then pray that he would work in us what is pleasing to him. You know, not just the stuff we do on the outside, but that the stuff we do on the outside would be the expression of who he's making us and how he's working in our hearts on the inside. So ask him to equip us for everything good for doing his will, to work in us what's pleasing to him, and that the end result of that would be that he gets all the glory through Jesus forever. Right? The most important thing of all about God being the source and doing this through you instead of you just doing it in your own strength is that who gets the credit when it's done? You do it in your own strength, you get the credit. God does it by his grace. God gets the glory for it. And that's what you were created for. You were created so that your life will give glory to God. And so the biggest problem of all when you do things in your own strength is that you rob God of the glory that he deserves. Like it's the root of all sin, that you take from God's glory and you give it to you. I did this. And he didn't create you to live that way. Like he created you to rely on him in this way, to trust him in this way, to depend on him in this way, for him to work through you in this way so that everything he produces in you and everything that comes out in your life, that your life becomes an act of worship toward him and he is praised and he's known and his name is shown to be great and glorious. So pray that he'll equip us with everything we need. Pray that he'll work in us what's pleasing to him, and pray that the result of our lives in this church would be his glory through Jesus. Will you pray that with me right now? Father, thank you for this word of hope and encouragement at the end of this letter. Thank you for the reminder that all of this ultimately depends on you and the promise that you have made and the work that you do through Jesus. Give us eyes of faith to see this truth and believe this truth and live by this truth. And we pray together right now with the author of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper together, we're reminded that this is the fulfillment of everything that we've talked about today and of everything that God has said and done in the Bible. And in this verse right here, when he's saying, may God do this work in you, may God give you everything you need and produce everything in you. Here's how. Through the blood of the eternal covenant that he brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. We've seen God make all kinds of promises and covenants throughout the Old Testament, and he always seals them with blood. But this covenant's different, right? This is the new and better covenant, the lasting covenant, the covenant that depends entirely on him, his eternal covenant, and he sealed it with the blood of his own son. And that's why we do this today, to remember and to thank him, to declare that we believe and to ask him to keep strengthening our faith so that we would believe more and more. That great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. They're mine, and I claim them, and I love them, and I own them, and that's why I'm willing to die for them. You can pick somebody else and hire him to come watch your sheep, and if danger comes, he runs off and protects himself. Not Jesus, not the great shepherd. And he stands in the gap. He stands in the place of us, takes the danger on himself, and by his own blood, he protects his sheep and makes us his own, secures the way for us to be right with God. Opens up the path for God to give us everything that we need through him. All of it's connected right here. And so as we do this right now, Let this be an expression of your faith in Jesus. Let this deepen your faith in Jesus. And so Jesus said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus said, this cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to sing a couple more songs of worship together. During this first song, we're going to have some people down here to talk with you and pray with you about anything that's going on in your life, about what it truly means to trust and follow Jesus. If you just need somebody to pray with you, we're here just for whatever during this time. And then also, next Sunday, just so you know, my plan, unless God tells me something different between now and then, is to do kind of a recap of Hebrews. We've spent so much time in it. I'd like for you to come with, hey, here are the biggest things, maybe, or just the really significant thing that God has taught me or showed me throughout Hebrews, and we'll walk through some of that together and just remind ourselves just of the overall picture and the truths God's given us as we're wrapping up this great book. And so I'm going to pray for us right now, and then we'll sing together. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the privilege and the grace of coming together as your church and your people and your body and praying together. Thank you that you hear us and you answer us because of Jesus. Thank you that you make available to us all that you have and all that you are. Father, I know that we don't even begin to understand what that means, but we thank you for it. Please continue to work your grace in us so that as these things flow out of us, you really will be glorified and honored and worshiped and lifted up and made known by our lives and by this church. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.